Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us at Law Matters. We've been talking about this event for a couple of weeks now. We're at Wayne's Toys, and I want Wayne to tell us a little bit about his warehouse and what you do and what inspired you to buy all these cars.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for being here. And thank you also for the nonpartisan approach to communications that I read about. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
We've got about 80 cars here in Tucson, from really iconic vehicles to very rare vehicles. We have foreign, we've got domestic, we've got little micro cars up to big super 50s American cars, and something for everybody. Basically, it was a collection I started when I retired, and it was supposed to be just one car that I was going to buy and take apart because I'm the least mechanical car guy in the world. And it ended up, obviously, being more than that, and I'm still the least mechanical car guy in the world.
So, okay, what did you do before you retired? What was your job?
I was in the steel business. We sold steel bars for manufacturing.
You don't say steel in front of a law enforcement officer.
That's a good, he's talking about the good
kind.
Steel. The
oh,
good steel.
Okay.
We spell it differently.
Okay.
Yes.
So you did that, and how long have you been retired? Because this is quite a collection.
We started in about 2014 or 15. So this was all in the last 6 or 7 years.
Wow.
It's been, it's kept me out of trouble in the city, and it's just been a labor of love. I call it my man cave, but it's really, everybody appreciates it.
Yeah.
So people who
he does have a cave here, too, in the back. Batman's cave is in the back.
We have a bat cave and the man cave.
That's awesome.
Sherry, this is a man cave on steroids with the amount of cars and all the cool stuff in here.
Yeah, we have to walk around afterwards and check everything out. I want to thank you for this opportunity. You're generous enough to let us do a fundraiser here and let everybody check out your cars. And as long as they don't touch them, cross those barriers or try to steal them, we're in good shape.
I see some people here with badges and guns, so I'm sure your guests will be good.
Inside and out. So, well, thank you. I appreciate your assisting us with our mission.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Okay, in the studio, we have Cochise County Sheriff Mark Daniels.
Good morning, Sherry.
On the telephone, we actually have Yuma County Sheriff Leon Wilmot.
He goes by Woody.
Woody. Okay, we have Woody. And we want to explain why Sheriff Lamb is not here, because we advertised that. So,
well, Sheriff Lamb sends his condolences for not being here today, but he's attending a funeral. A Maricopa County Sheriff's Office deputy was killed in Scottsdale last Wednesday, Lieutenant Chad Brackman, which my prayers, thoughts, and condolences go out to him and his family and this Maricopa County Sheriff's Office law enforcement family. So he'll be attending that funeral today, so he could not be here. So thank you to Sheriff Wilmot for stepping up and jumping in on this.
Yeah, I appreciate it. How are you doing over there in Yuma?
We're keeping busy, just like Buzz is over there in Cochise County. Every day has been a new adventure.
No 2 days are alike, that's for sure.
Hey, Sherry, no. I gotta tell you why we call him Woody. First of all, he looks like Woody from Toy Story. There's, I mean, seriously, and the only difference is he carries a gun. Woody didn't carry a gun in the Pixar movies, Toy Story. But what we were, Leon and I were actually in New Orleans. We met with the Homeland Security Secretary several years ago. We were coming out, and there was a live news broadcast. And so I knew the host of the show, and he asked me, he goes, "Hey, Sheriff, can you jump on this show?" And I said, "Sure." Well, Leon had gone to the restroom. He goes, "Hey, will the other sheriff jump on there?" I said, "Sure, he'll jump on there with us." And he goes, "What's his name?" I go, "It's Woody Wilmot from Yuma, Arizona." And so when he walked back, and we started right away, and so I did my part, and he goes, "And with Sheriff Daniels is Sheriff Woody Wilmot from Yuma, Arizona." And Leon, the look on his face was priceless, and he goes, "That's Leon?" And so by the time he got back to Yuma, his staff had put posters up, and so that's his new nickname, Woody, and he wears it proudly, I promise you.
That's pretty funny. So
good Lord. See what I have to deal with?
Only for an hour.
Yes.
Well, okay, I want to... Buzz Lightyear is pair of Danos. He looks just like Buzz, so it's a team effort.
But I can't fly. That's the only difference. I can't fly. That's neither true. Could Buzz either.
Fly.
You know? I can't fly.
Yeah. I want to ask.
Are there any? Sounds like he's got quite the collection of cars down there. He doesn't have any law enforcement old ones like we do, does he, Buzz?
I haven't got a chance to tour it, but Wayne's going to take me on a tour. And Wayne, do you have any law enforcement vehicles? He's got the Batmobile, and they were like action heroes.
Oh, well, you need to show them pictures of your restored law enforcement vehicle of mine.
Yeah, this is like being a kid in a candy store today for like you and I, Leon. So, yeah, I'm excited to do the tour here, and we're done here at 9.
Well, thank him again for his support for law enforcement. That's pretty special right now.
Well, I tell you, I just met him this morning. Really nice guy. And, Sherry, we continue to thank you for all you do and putting the messages out there, the fact messages, not opinion so much as it is the facts. And that's what we're here and share with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to ask you something, Sheriff Wilmot. In the news about 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was a former Marine that took down an armed robber in your county. Were you
absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal what he did.
Did you put him on the payroll?
No. He was working out at YPG, and we're still waiting to hear what the situation is out there with the COVID mandate on taking the vaccine. But he enjoys being out there at YPG and doing all the testing and on all that equipment for our military troops. So that's kind of his passion right now.
Well, good for him, but I saw that video, and that was pretty remarkable. I thought, Semper Fi, dude.
And I don't know if you know, Sherry.
Yeah, it was the Marine Corps birthday, too. I was waiting for Buzz to call me and wish me a happy birthday and sing a song, but he never did do that.
I know. We're going to do it on the show today, but I don't know if you know this, Sherry. Woody's actually a former Marine. So.
Well, Semper Fi. My parents were both Marines.
Yeah, and I served in the Army, so... we got to have our Marines, too.
Yeah. So, Sherry, make sure you speak slowly. You got an Army guy there.
Okay.
You see what happens. You all see us in meetings. Most people don't understand it.
And talking trash with each other.
Yes.
Okay. I want to know, and we told the people that are listening that we were going to talk about what's going on at the border, and I'm really glad you're on the show because you're at the other end of the border. Mark is at this end of the border. How does it compare? Do you have the same issues? Is it different? What's going on?
Well, we have a mix of issues in Yuma County. The last federal fiscal year, there was over 114,000 apprehensions down here in the southwest corner of the state and over 7,000 getaways. We've had just our county 26 deaths as a result of the unsecure border down here. Yeah, I get questions every day about are we concerned with the caravans that are coming up, but to be quite honest with your listening public, we deal with the caravan every day in Yuma County. So the apprehensions right now are at about 750 each day that we're seeing as far as the family units coming up. We're seeing a trend now where it's more single males and a few females, very few children. The 106 different countries have been detected here, with 17 of those from special interest countries that have ties to terrorists. So you're talking about Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, those kind of countries. So it's a concern for us. And then on the eastern part of our desert, we're seeing a lot of the individuals that are coming up at night, and these are the getaways that we're concerned with because of the amount of fentanyl, cocaine, heroin, and meth that's being smuggled up through the border and going to the interior of the United States. You know, the recent release on information from the CDC was this last year has been an all-time high for the United States on overdose deaths, with 75% of those deaths being fentanyl-related.
Over 100,000.
Over 100,000. So if you take that number, you're talking about 270 people dying every day in the United States from overdoses.
Illegal drugs.
From illegal drugs. And the cartel are controlling every bit of the border, and I'm sure Sheriff Daniels will tell you the same thing. It's scary that we have a Secretary of Homeland Security telling the United States citizens that the border is closed. It's anything but closed in our eyes down here on the border.
Okay, when they stopped, I guess when Joe Biden took office, they stopped stopping the people at the border. Did they leave a mess at your border like they did down in Cochise County, where the wall was like almost done and it's just kind of a train wreck down there?
It is. I mean, you have the wall that's been up, but the unfortunate thing is you don't have the gate, and you have all of this equipment just sitting out there, the lights, all the rest of the electronic sensor equipment. All of this stuff was stopped, so you can go 30 miles out in the middle of the desert away from any civilization and see this large compound with all that infrastructure just laying on the ground, being ate up by the environment. It's just a total waste of taxpayer money for this administration to do what they did and not further enable our border security experts to be able to have that not only permanent infrastructure but the electronic infrastructure in place to deter and detect the criminal element that's coming across in our remote deserts.
What's going on down in Cochise County?
Well, what Sheriff Wilmot says, I 100% agree with. And national sheriffs, western sheriffs, southwest border sheriffs collectively have four objectives. Number one is public safety, which is your community safety. Second is national security, which is something we all should be concerned about. The humanitarian side of it is the third objective. And then we've added health. And Cochise County is no different in the fact that our border is a super challenge for local communities down there. To give you an example and to add on what Sheriff Wilmot's saying is we have a 325% increase on the southwest border from the previous year with 1.7 million encounters. Something that I think is alarming is we've had 164 countries breach our southwest border, and 63% are other than Mexican, which is the, like Sheriff Wilmot talks, these countries of interest that should cause concern for everybody. And I'll give you some stats on drugs, the illicit drugs on the southwest border under the last 11 months. 180,000 pounds of meth, 86,000 pounds of coke, 5,000 pounds of heroin, 10,000 pounds of fentanyl, and 311,000 pounds of marijuana. Now let me go back to fentanyl, meth, and coke. For a usable quantity, it's 0.005 milligrams, and that's a deadly dose right there. So it just goes to show you what that's infecting our communities, our schools, and our families. Very big concern for public safety and law enforcement throughout the southwest border and beyond. Now, the Tucson sector, which is part of Cochise County, we lead the nation in getaways. These are people that can't give up like you see in Texas. These people are aggravated felons. They can't get up or give up because they're going to be sent back. That's how bad they are. So we lead the nation in getaways with over 10,000 a month. I mean, and to give you an example how bad that's gotten in my county, in Cochise County every month we get over 1,000 drivers, smuggler drivers that come from Phoenix and beyond to pick these illegals up. And to give you an example, I went out last week and we had one from Ohio, one from Wisconsin, and one from Michigan, all coming down here because it's so lucrative. They get $1,000 per head. So if you grab four of them, that's $4,000 driving from Cochise County to Phoenix, Arizona. So it just shows you the money behind this. And as a result of this, our violent crime's up, our border crimes are up, our pursuits are up. We just had a 65-year-old female killed by a 16-year-old smuggler 2 weeks ago. She was heading to her birthday party to meet her family and son. She never showed up because the 16-year-old kid ran from law enforcement. We disengaged, and 30 miles down the road, he was still driving over 100 miles an hour with the illegals in the back that he was being paid to smuggle for. He ran through an intersection over 100 miles an hour and T-boned the mom and tore the car in half and killed her. Her son, since the mom didn't show up, he started heading up back up the highway going back home and drove up on his mom's death. So I tell you, when you sit down and you speak to the families that are being affected, the home invasions, and talking to these family members, to give you an example how bad it is in my jail, in the first 3 months, we have just on border-related crimes, we've had a cost of $354,000 additional just because of the we're charging people for murder. We're charging for criminal trespass. We're charging them for felony flight, reckless driving, you name it. And they're in our jails. But that's the cost to my citizens just in my county alone.
And people think that, you know, the border issue is your problem because you're the sheriff. You've got the border. Take care of it. But it's everybody's problem all the way from here to Canada, from coast to coast. All these drugs are coming through. Something that really struck me a month or so ago was the situation on Amtrak. Now, all our counties have the train tracks going through them, and it seems, and I don't know how true it is, but it seems that their security system is pretty lax, and if you can get on a train with drugs and weapons, you can go anywhere in the country.
And as a result, let's go back to this. Is again goes back to public safety, national security, where you have these, and I'm just going to say how it is, these criminals, these thugs, with a record that was just charged for murder in California, gets on the train with drugs and a weapon, and then when DEA and Tucson PD goes in there to do the right thing and to keep other passengers safe, we have an officer killed. So it does. Is it preventable? You bet it's preventable. You know, the rule of law is something that has made this country great. Is it a perfect system? Of course not. But it's kept our communities in order. It's kept criminals where they need to be, and a lot of times that's locked up because they're preying on innocent people. But when you defy the rule of law, this is what you have. You have officers being killed. You have citizens being killed. And that's what Sheriff Wilmot, after you know, our 30, almost 40 years of service in public safety and in the military prior to that, that's what we do. We take our oath very serious about that.
Yeah, and it's difficult to wrap my mind around the fact that all these drugs are coming in and they're so sneaky about it. They have various ways of doing it through customs, through, you know, illegal people. They've used drones, catapults, and the wall's not stopping them. So what do you suggest? What can we do as citizens? What can we do to help you with your job?
Well, if you believe in the rule of law, public safety, national security, humanitarian. I want to hit on humanitarian for a minute. I know Sheriff Wilmot just spoke about his county. In Arizona, in the first 10 months of this fiscal year, we had 162 migrants die in the desert trying to enter our country through cartel smuggling. 162. And that's very common in my county, just like it is in Yuma County, Pima County, Santa Cruz, and beyond, Sheriff Lamb County and Pinal, where when you're out there talking to a family member because their loved ones have been left to die, that's a real problem. Example of that. In our county here a couple months ago, we had a smuggler bringing five up from the border. One fell ill. The smuggler left him behind. I was out working with Border Patrol. We actually grabbed the smuggler and the four illegals, and the one illegal said, "Hey, our friend's back there." We went back there, found him. We put him on a horse to bring him out to the highway. Halfway out, he said, "Hey, I can walk." We got him off the horse. He collapsed and died right there. I charged the smuggler for negligent homicide, so murder. So he's in my jail for murder. So the consequences are coming through, like Sheriff Wilmot's efforts, other sheriffs along the southwest border, my office, where if we can charge him for a state crime, we will. If not, they go free. And if there's no consequences, I guarantee you it's only going to get worse based on the current situation. And going back to your question, Sherry, on that, we have to have collective messaging from the President of the United States, from the Homeland Security Secretary, from governors, from sheriffs, mayors. We all have to stand, because our oath of office has one common thread: protect Americans, protect our citizens. The other thing is we need to prioritize our borders, all our borders. And then we have to have consequences for those that violate the rules and laws of the land. And last but not least, as I keep saying this, we need to invest in asylum hearing officers, immigration officers, and put them at every port of entry in this country. 98% of the people that come in and claim credible fear can be addressed right there, whether they stay in the country or they're deported. And majority of 9 out of 10 would be deported, in fact, because they don't fit the protocol. Right now what's happening is they come to the border, they claim credible fear, and they're led into the country without even a court date. They tell them to go ahead and report to the nearest immigration officer. We know as well as talking to our counterparts on immigration, they don't report. They're left. They go into the communities never to be seen again.
So why don't they just close the border for now, take care of the mess that's out there, these people who aren't showing up for their court dates, instead of telling them, okay, in 15 years from now, I want you here at this time. That's not going to work.
Well, it doesn't work, and that's why we have 11 million, and I'll be honest with you, that's probably a very
modest estimate.
Yes, thank you. And it's probably double that right now. And when you look at 1.75 this year, and that's what we know of. So it's not a system that's working. It's a fractured system. But if you don't have the will to enforce the rule of law or the will to send the message that there will be consequences, you're leaving this country very vulnerable. And we're seeing that every day in my county. And when I have 1,000 people that are coming to my county every month to pick up illegals. And these people aren't, you know, mom and pop from church. These people are bad people. They are. They're coming down there. And 80 to 90% of them are armed right now. And that's the first time we've ever seen that. They're armed. A lot of them are impaired by illicit drugs. Their driving habits are horrible. They're reckless to the community. So, again, sheriffs are standing up against this, mainly because that's what our oath says we'll do. My job is to enhance the quality of life in my county and protect my citizens. And I'll yield back to Sheriff Wilmont on that question, too, for you.
Well, I'll just add on to that, there's not a day that doesn't go by. When you look at the vast numbers that are coming across the border, for example, yesterday I was down along the border, and I'm picking up passports from a number of different countries and ID cards, because a lot of these folks that the mainstream media is reporting out there are coming from countries who have violence and they're concerned for their safety. That's the message that's getting out there by mainstream media. But the fact of the matter is that I'm picking up passports and IDs from individuals that have already fled those countries, moved and set up residence in a whole different country, but now because of the border situation that we're experiencing, they're leaving those countries to come into the U.S. They know if they get caught with that identification, they will automatically be sent back to that country where they reestablish residency. So a lot of this stuff is a false narrative that the American people are being fed. But the fact of the matter is, much like last time where 80 to 90% didn't meet the criteria, we're seeing that now too. And they're using different names and claiming to be from that country that's experiencing the violence. So it's concerning to us because you look at Florida, they just had a homicide down there where an individual was led into this country by the this administration. You've got Iron County Sheriff in Utah who just had an individual that they've got in their jail because he raped a person and he was here illegally as well. And they're experiencing large quantities of heroin going right through his county towards Salt Lake City, Utah. So there's not a county in the U.S. that's not being impacted by what's going on the border. And that's why Western sheriffs came out with a vote of no confidence against Secretary Mayorkas.
You know, let me add on to this too, Sheriff, if I could. The worst thing they ever did for law enforcement and public safety is insert politics. Politics
yes.
has no business in what we do. And our job is to go out there. I 37 years I've been wearing a badge with honor. And I've never gone up to somebody and said, hey, what's your political affiliation? That's just so unheard of. And unfortunately, so many things. I mean, you look at the recent Reitenhauer case that's being politicized now.
Yeah.
Folks, that's our criminal justice system at work. And the trier of facts, the jury members, heard that case, heard the facts, heard the rule of law, what they can do and what they couldn't do, and made a decision. The criminal justice system is not a perfect system, but it's our system. And it works majority of time, if not high percentage. But to criticize that now because of a political affiliation or is just completely wrong. And it defies the criminal justice system, the judicial system that has made this country great.
And the people that are doing the majority of the criticizing didn't see the evidence.
That's exactly right.
So.
And I was listening to a media yesterday, and they were talking to the third person that is it a sad situation all around? Of course it is. Of course it is. We lost two lives. But the bottom line is, The third person that was shot actually made the comment that in the trial that he actually raised his gun and pointed it at the shooter in this case. That's by definition is called self-defense. It truly is. Now, can we pick it apart? Well, why does this kid have a gun? Why is this? You bet. But that's not our job. We all have an opinion, but we're not entitled to our own facts on that. So, again, we got to get politics out of public safety. And personally, I think we need to get it out of health. If we can get it out of health, we're going to do better, too, because that's what erodes the trust in what we do on the vaccines and everything else.
Oh, absolutely. In my situation, when with the Rittenhouse thing, I didn't even think about him, you know, being, he defended himself. I didn't think about that. I was thinking, you've got a minor with an assault rifle and a mother who drove 40 miles or 40 minutes, whatever it was, to drop him off at the scene of a riot. Why isn't that mother being held for, you know, child endangerment?
Well, you again, it goes back to a parental decision of morality. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, I look back on my own life, and I couldn't imagine my wife and I taking our son to such an event and then give him an assault rifle or a rifle of any, or a weapon of any kind. And say, hey, have fun, son. It doesn't make no sense, and you make a thing. But one thing I'll say on that is, and I have situations like that after 37, almost 40 years of law enforcement, that we're not the morality police. We enforce the rule of law, and based on the facts and based on what the statutes say we can and can't do.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back on the other side.
Colleen here, a volunteer with Pima County Search and Rescue. If you see a horse or mule on trail, please give way. They don't need to be spooked and are probably on a rescue mission.
Saving lives means staying informed. Knowing the dangers of using counterfeit prescription pills can help those you care about and keep our community safe. As a parent, educator, neighbor, or friend, we all play a role in building safe and healthy futures for ourselves and our loved ones. Do your part. Take the first step today. Visit GetSmartAboutDrugs.com to access education, prevention, and treatment resources. Counterfeit prescription pills laced with fentanyl are deadly. Be their protector. Be informed. Visit GetSmartAboutDrugs.com.
Please tune in to Law Matters Live Show every Saturday morning at 8. Hi, this is Sherry. On our next show, we will hear from both the Arizona Rangers and 88 Crime. And we want to hear from you. The on-air number is 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Uh-oh. All of us at Law Matters want to thank you for supporting our show. Your support truly makes a difference. Law Matters podcast can be found on iTunes, Google Play, and lawmatters1030.org.
Law Matters was created to open the lines of communication between law enforcement and you. 1030 in police code means excessive use or unauthorized use of the radio, something we do with each podcast posted to iTunes and Google Play. Hi, this is Rich Tracy inviting you to join our conversation and asking you to support our mission. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute. No amount is too small.
To report suspected human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. To learn more about Homeland Security investigations and our efforts to combat human trafficking, please visit our website at www.ice.gov or check out the DHS Blue Campaign at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. For more information on the Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network, please visit us at www.saturn.org or find us on Facebook.
Thank you for staying with us. As a reminder, our guests today are Yuma County Sheriff Wilmot and Cochise County Sheriff Daniels. And we're talking about different situations that affect the border. And I have a question for you. I know that we had a local person who was nominated for the commissioner position for Customs and Border Protection. Did they ask the sheriffs on the border who work with these people for a recommendation, or did they just go to the senators and say, who should we pick?
They didn't ask me, I can tell you that much, and I'll yield to Sheriff Wilmot in case there was a conversation there.
No, there's been no conversation from the administration, nor are any of our senators or reps.
So, do you agree with the nomination?
And let me say that on behalf of National Sheriff Association, I chair border security for NSA. Absolutely not. We actually did an interview with Sheriff or Chief Mangus here in Tucson. That was a committee made of sheriffs from Western and Southwest border and my members of the National Sheriff's Association, to include our president, Vernon Stanford, out of Ohio. And I tell you, I wish the American people could hear that interview, because when you look at a position where you're going to oversee 60,000 men and women, and you have a border that's in chaos, crisis, whatever you want to call it, and you got the morale so low, and then you got this individual that, I'll just say this, I mean, his number one thought was he'll do what the President of the United States tells him to do, and I get that, he's appointed, but you still have to lead 60,000 men and women, and if you don't do that, I mean, it's only going to get worse. So NSA opposed him, and I know Western opposed him. I believe
cops.
Southwest did too.
On cops that. Opposed him.
I know Arizona sheriffs opposed him too.
Right. Yeah.
So who would you have if you were in the position to nominate somebody? Who would you pick?
Well, they had Rodney Scott, Chief Rodney Scott. He was a good friend of Chief Wilmot and myself and many, many sheriffs throughout the country. Proven leader with CBP. He's approachable. You can have a conversation. And he led the troops by respect. And this administration let him go here about 4 or 5 months ago. And I tell you, that was disheartening because he was such a leader for CBP. So now they have Chief Ortiz in here. I don't know much about Chief Ortiz. Him and I have worked on a couple things together. But again, you had a proven leader there. Chief Ortiz, he's been in the system a long time. But going back to the commissioner, these were chiefs of Border Patrol. Now you go back to the commissioner. All these proven leaders that have spent their life at DHS, Department of Homeland Security, or Border Patrol, CBP. I mean, all the proven talent up there that understands not just border security, but economic trade, all the things, TSA, all the things that fall under DHS, Homeland Security. There's a lot of talent out there that should have been looked at because you need somebody to lead it. No offense, and I even made this comment, Sherry, I'll say it to you. If somebody walked up to me, I've spent 37 years on this border, and I'll tell you right now, if they said, Sheriff, we'd like to have you lead DHS, I don't have the qualifications to do that. I just don't. I didn't grow up my life in a Homeland Security. That needs to be somebody, like I said, that has a proven track record with their organization. That's my opinion on that.
Sheriff Wilma?
And I believe not only myself, but the rest of the sheriffs would be in agreement with Sheriff Daniels on that, and that's why we all opposed Chief Magnus for that position. He doesn't have that leadership ability to be able to take on that position. I've heard from a number of people, including the former sheriff of Pima County, Sheriff Napier. He even said, you know, Chief Magnus is a nice guy when you meet him in person, but he doesn't have the qualities and the qualifications to run that position.
So what does the public need to do to influence that nomination, or is it too late?
Well, I would say this. I mean, we have two elected U.S. senators here, Senator Sinema and Senator Kelly, that have a strong voice in this. And they know. They got letters from all the sheriff organizations, national, western, southwest border, Arizona sheriffs, that are speaking against the nomination of Chief Magnus. Now the public, if they believe in it, support that, they need to call their elected reps. One thing scares me is elected officials forget who they work for sometimes. We work for the people.
Seems that way, yeah.
Truly, we work for the people, and we need to make sure we're hearing and listening to people. And I understand that being elected for 9 years, some of the conversations are tough. Sometimes we get beat up, and sometimes we just need to listen, though, and remember who we work for, and that is the people in our communities.
Now, sometimes somebody will look fabulous on paper, but in reality, it might not be that way. And it just bothered me when I read that they nominated him, said he was exceptional, but there was no conversation in here about, we talked to all the people that have to work with him, and they unanimously said, hey, he's a great guy, when it was totally opposite.
Well, I would add this little flavor thought. The Arizona ACOPS, we call them, Arizona Chief of Police, they did not endorse him for this position.
Yeah.
His own colleagues did not endorse him either. So when you look at that, and it would be nice if our two senators would have asked us, Sheriff, what in Arizona? They saw the letter from us, but let's talk about it. I mean, listen, it's not about personality. This is about professional leadership. And he is. I've met Chief Magnus. He's a nice guy. I don't want to be ill toward that thought. But this is a person that's got to lead our nation's homeland security into the future in a time of great challenges, something we haven't seen in decades. So, yeah, you want the right person there.
What about the governor?
Well, I'll start off on that one. And I've had very good relationships with Governor Ducey when it comes to this border. I know he's very frustrated. He feels like he's been ignored when it comes to this administration and our border. And I can't explain I'm not going to speak for the governor on that, but I can tell you what, I can't speak to what the governor's done for us here in Cochise County and the state legislative folks. You know, when the federal government is stepping back and saying, hey, we're taking a different approach on border security, and we're seeing the impact in our state and our communities, the governor has the obligation and I believe the expectation to step up and do some. So to give you an example, in Cochise County, we're getting $3.7 million for more deputies, equipment, vehicles, drones, another $1.1 million for cameras. And these cameras are already deployed from Cochise County all the way to the California state line with Sheriff Wilmot, all the way into New Mexico. We've been asked to come into Texas. This is a great system. It's a local initiative system with sheriffs. We have 14 different partners that work these cameras. But again, the state's coming up and saying, hey, we're going to help you support and sustain that program at $1.1 million. Another $675,000 for artificial intelligence. What that's for is decipher between animals and humans. We're getting so many photos on our camera system. The deployment of National Guard. I have 32 National Guard in my county. 18 of them just work my camera room. And that camera room is for all southern Arizona and into New Mexico. We're looking at the governor, like I told you before, $354,000 in border security jail cost right now since the first 3 months. And we've gone through 53% of my patrol overtime. The governor's going to reimburse us for that.
That's
and then
cool.
We're looking at a collective center in Cochise County for our Fusion Center, which is our intel center. We're working with a program with national sheriffs, our camera room, our specialty teams, our financial crimes team, all the different things that bring border security, what I call interdiction, and public awareness. So the governor's willing to buy us a facility and help support that facility for us. So I'm going to give a shout out to Governor Ducey for working with us and working with others to do his part. And we couldn't have done this without him.
Yeah, protect Arizona. Protect all of us. I think that's amazing that camera system is going to go in your requested to go into Texas too?
It is. We've been asked to go to Texas. It's a beautiful system. Sheriff Wilmot, we have it in his county, working with Sheriff Wilmot on that. But I want to say this, you know, all the money that we're doing to address border, we're not immigration officers. We don't have immigration authority. So we're doing everything we can to keep our community safe. But here in a time where the border's at one of the worst crises we've seen since maybe the 90s, the federal government, Congress, bless their hearts, and I say that with cynical tongue, they cut CBP's budget by $1 billion for 2022. They cut it $960 million, if you haven't seen that already, and as you move into the next year. While you're giving money for all the BB Build Back Better, the infrastructure, and now you're going to go ahead, but you've ignored border security. That's frustrating. It's a morale kick to our agents down there on the border, our officers on the border, but they cut their budget just under $1 billion coming up.
And that's both borders. That's a lot.
That's a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money. It tells you that it's almost like, hey, here's the final straw. Here's what we're going to do for you now. They should be adding money to them to help them. They're understaffed.
So how is that going to affect your county, Sheriff Wilmot?
Well, you talk about the amount of money that they cut from the Customs and Border Patrol. They also cut over $1.5 million out of ICE. So, and right now when you look at Border Patrol agents, where 80% of their staff are sitting in a building doing processing because they're inundated with the current situation on the border trying to process people into the United States with no hearings, there's hardly any Border Patrol agents out on the border, and that's leading to the situation that we're dealing with now. And what's concerning is, you know, you look at the health aspect for all of the United States, you're looking at an administration who's going to look at terminating right now over 5,000 Border Patrol agents because they don't want to take a vaccine, but yet this same administration has released anywhere from 1.7 to 1.9 million people into the United States to travel on either a plane, a train, or a bus without mandating that they have the vaccine. So it's concerning to us that this administration would have that mindset to think that that's okay to further expose U.S. citizens to not only COVID, but a vast number of other diseases that are communicable throughout the U.S. from all these different countries. We're talking about tuberculosis, scabies, and everything else. And the other aspect of this is they're not doing DNA to ensure that these kids are actually the kids of these individuals. We've known from the past that individuals were using kids to get across to portray themselves as a family unit, and our Border Patrol agents actually detected the fact that these kids were being used.
Yeah, they'd appear more than once with, you know, various family members, allegedly.
And that's part of the problem for us, and thank you for giving us this time to educate, you know, your listening public, because so often, you know, we do interviews with national media throughout the U.S., and you get interviewed for 30 minutes, but yet you get a 30-second soundbite that doesn't even cover the totality of the impacts to our communities and other communities throughout the U.S. on this current political and personal ideology that this administration has put into public safety.
We had the Customs and Border Protection field director on, and he said that a lot of the kids that they're talking about being held in these facilities aren't being picked up by their parents. Their parents don't want to pick them up. They're relying on third-party charities, you know, Catholic charities or whatever charity, to transport these kids to wherever they need to go in America. And the parents will not come and pick them up, and the kids are just stuck there until they can get through that red tape to be either transported to their parents here or a relative here, or be sent back to Mexico. He said it's got nothing to do with, you know, what they're claiming in the news.
Well, and you just look at the other ancillary impacts that we're seeing in our local communities. I mean, it was hard enough when this started again, and we had warned Mayorkas and actually gave him a 16-point plan for success on securing the border from all the sheriffs on the, along the southwest border, because of the vast knowledge and experience that we all have dealing with the geographic areas, and that was completely ignored by Mayorkas. In fact, he even forgot that we gave it to him in El Paso. But that was the same time that he also terminated Sheriff Daniels, who was actually a sitting member on the Homeland Security Advisory Council. So from the very beginning, it looked like Mayorkas was there to dismantle all the successes that had been done through the open lines of communication with DHS, and it's just further gone down.
I'll add on to that. I was the first sheriff to be appointed to the Homeland Security Advisory Council, and I was the first sheriff to be terminated from the Homeland Security Advisory Council. So there's two thoughts there. But let me just say this, and this is something I shared with Secretary Mayorkas. I had not known him. I do not know him until he was appointed there. He was the first secretary, and this is the first president to ever dismantle Homeland Security since 9/11 occurred. So they're appointed by different presidents and different administrations, but no president or administration has ever dismantled it. President Biden and Secretary Mayorkas were the first ones to do that. And I called them on that. I said, listen, in a time where the border needs more guidance and advisory, especially from locals and community members that are living it and dealing with it, why would you do that? And he made a comment. He goes, you don't think we have the authority? I said, it has nothing to do with authority. It has nothing to do with authority. It has to do with what is needed, what we need to do to secure our borders. And at this time, the Advisory Council still has not been re-implemented as it sits there. So, again, you look at the totality of everything going on our border, and I asked the question here a couple weeks ago with Sheriff Wilmot and a handful of other sheriffs met with Secretary Mayorkas again, and I asked the question to him, back to sitting right in front of me, what have we resolved by these meetings? And the second question, let's be completely honest, do we have an open border policy? He didn't answer either questions to me. So, again, it goes back to respect. Listen, we all might not agree with things, but in positions of leadership, being elected, we have a due responsibility to respect our oath of office and to respect the people we serve, even when we don't disagree, And that's been blatant over the last 10 months working with Secretary Mayorkas, which is a result of the Western sheriffs coming out with a vote of no confidence against him.
Well, that's pretty remarkable. Congratulations on being the first in the first.
First and first, yeah. Yeah. It's true. I mean, you got to laugh about it because I keep saying this. You know, they keep saying we got a border crisis. You know, we have a health crisis. And I keep saying this. This goes beyond a health crisis, goes beyond a border crisis, goes up beyond a scrutiny on law enforcement. This is a political crisis now in our country. Politics has now entered the crisis realm. It really has. I mean, you look at anything we're doing right now, and what ideology of politics is going to play out in that discussion. Let's get rid of the dang politics and what we do, and we can get back to normal. We really have to, and we need leadership from the President of the United States all the way down to our communities that actually can find the balance, the bubble in the middle. And if we can do that, we're going to move forward.
Like it used to be?
Yeah, like it used to be. And granted, we'll never always agree, but we have to have balanced leaders, not the extreme right, not the extreme left, but balanced leadership that is truly there to serve the people. And they're not. And let's face it, it's a give and take in life. It truly is. And if you always want to take, and that's what we got right now, hey, we're going to take it all on both sides. We got a mess.
We've got a mess. Absolutely.
Yeah, we do. You can look at our senators right now. I mean, they've not been engaged with law enforcement as far as any border sheriffs that I'm aware of. And that's concerning for us when you're talking about the Build Back Better plan that's coming up that they're looking at having to vote on that the House has already passed. Well, the fact that there's over 10 million individuals that are here in this country illegally that they are looking at giving amnesty to, there's just a number of things in that bill, but nothing is being addressed for border security at all in that Build Back Better. They're actually looking at giving individuals that have entered the country illegally $3,500 per child. And you, when you ask what is the draw that's causing this, and that's why they sent the vice president to all these different countries to determine what the draw is, well, when you have an administration talking about how much money they're going to give these individuals when they come across illegally, it's concerning. That's what the draw is.
And I'll add on to that, being a veteran myself and from the Army and Sheriff Wilmot from the Marine Corps, is the fact that once we take care of every American, especially our veterans, our youth, our children, our senior citizens, and every American's had the opportunity to progress and be taken care of, then we can start helping others. But we got it, and we're a country of humanitarians. I 100% support that, agree with that. But what's going on this border only turns on the neon light. Keep on coming. Keep on coming. So I coach wrestling for the high school down in Sierra Vista, and we have kids that can't even afford to eat on my team that we help out with. And this is just hard for me to swallow. I'll just be honest with you. It's really hard.
Well, charity starts at home. That's what I was always told.
True.
And you want to take care of your people. And, you know, it doesn't seem like it's happening.
You know, and I'll add this to you, Sherry, is, you know, we have, and I just saw a survey that they, Sheriff Wilmot can maybe, they did a survey, a national group did a survey, where there's always that story where those in the country illegally are afraid to contact law enforcement to report the crime.
Yeah.
You've all heard about those stories. Well, I was very impressed here about 6 months ago. I was at a conference and a meeting, and this lady that is part of a research firm, they actually did this huge survey with those that both Americans or citizens and also those here in the country illegally. Do you know that illegals report crimes more often than Americans do?
No, I didn't know that.
That is a true statement. I thought it was an eye-opener because that the thing, we don't want to scare them. We want to make sure they're protected. Again, they reported more crimes than Americans do. That's relevant.
So that is relevant because they claim that, you know, this isn't happening because they're afraid of you, they're afraid of anybody wearing a badge, and that's clearly not the case.
It's not the case, and that study's out there, and so when you hear politicians say that, well, we have to do this, we need a sanctuary city so we can make sure they're protected and they feel confident to call. Oh, they're already calling. I promise you, they're already calling based on this survey, and it was a real eye-opener for me. It was a good eye-opener. I I don't care if you're in the country or not. If you've been a victim of crime, we need to investigate it and take care of you. And sheriffs have authority where if you're a victim of a crime, you're here in the country illegally, we can actually protect you under immigration status. We can put the paperwork together. And I've done a handful of those kind of cases. So if you have somebody that's been in a stash house that's being sexually assaulted, we actually protect them in this country. And I know Sheriff Wilmont's probably done the same. So, again, there's measures in place that sheriffs are already working, are already doing.
Yeah, if you're a victim of human trafficking or sex trafficking or, you know, any situation that you know is illegal in our country, call the sheriff, call 911 and get some help. There's organizations out there that will help you, too. Once the paperwork is completed, they'll make sure that you stay safe. They're not going to put you back in a dangerous situation.
That's 100% correct. I've never heard in my tenure a law enforcement officer saying, well, they're not from the United States, they're not legally here, so we're not going to take care of them. I've never heard that, and I'm telling you, it's law enforcement are very passionate people. Do we have our rotten apples? Of course we do, but I'd say 99.9% are out there doing the right thing for the right reasons and for people.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You just look at our current situation on the border where these individuals have been traveling for 2-3 months and been victimized, whether they're children or women. And once they get into the United States, they've actually reported these rapes and assaults. You know, we've had to incorporate our enforcement into ensuring that they get with our family advocacy centers and that they're linked in with HHS to make sure that they get that proper counseling. Even though it happened in a whole nother country, it's incumbent upon us to ensure that individuals are taken care of and they're not neglected. And we see that in our local community here, and we've had that happen. So, you know, as far as compassion, I mean, law enforcement, nobody wants this in their backyard, and nobody wants to see people victimized. And that's what the cartels are doing. They're just exploiting every mile of the international boundary. Each and every one of those 1.7 million are now into indentured servitude because not all of them can afford $6,000 to be smuggled across into the United States. And if you're from a special interest country, you're talking up to $20,000 to get smuggled into the United States.
Wow.
So there's a large exploitation that's being conducted by the cartels, and this administration is not targeting that fact. And that's concerning for us because our federal government's been turned into a transportation hub for the cartels to further get individuals into the United States.
Okay, we only have like 2 minutes left. Are you hiring out there in Yuma County?
We actually have about 2 openings. We've been pretty fortunate for the sheriff's office. I know the PDs are still looking for law enforcement as well. And we got a community that supports our law enforcement partners. But, you know, if you see a Border Patrol agent out there, thank them for what they're doing because their morale is significantly down under this current leadership. And with all the changes that this administration's putting on them and restrictions, they're fighting a losing battle, but they're still at it each and every day.
Makes it difficult.
Yeah,
Sheriff Daniels, are you hiring?
Yeah, we are. We're like, you know, I'm just going to throw this out to you. 88% of all the policing in this country is rural. Rural America is doing a very good job with this policing. Only 12% is the urban areas, like the Tucson, Phoenixes. And people kind of flip that around, think it's the urban. No, they're a very small percentage. We look at the big picture here. So we're doing really well on hiring, too. So we're in good shape. I will leave you with this. Number one is we got to make the cartel a terrorist organization. They're horrible, and they're destroying this country. Number two is, I promise you, and I commit to, and I commit to my citizens, and I commit to my state here, that we'll never give up hope. Sheriff Wilmont and I work diligently to do the right thing, keep our community safe. And, Sherry, thank you for letting us share our frustrations a little bit here and also the facts of what's going on. And thank you for all your support that you give law enforcement.
Well, thank you for being here. And I want to thank Wayne for letting us use his warehouse, Geneva Financial, Diamondback Shooting Sports, and Pioneer Title for helping support this event. And until next week, shop local, stay safe. And thank you to everybody who's staring at us. Hi, this is Sherry. On our next show, we will hear from both the Arizona Rangers and 88 Crime. And we want to hear from you. The on-air number is 790-2040. That's 790-2040. All of us at Law Matters want to thank you for supporting our show. Your support truly makes a difference. Law Matters podcast can be found on iTunes, Google Play, and lawmatters1030.org.